Happy is the man who listens to me, Proverbs 8:34. Take care how you listen, for he who has, to him shall more be given. In these lessons, we are revealing action, and only by action can we understand. We can never understand by belief, by mere meditation, by mere suggestions, nor in the future, nor in the past, can be found the truth. The truth is not in the past. What is in the past is memory. Truth is not in the future, for the future is hope and apprehension. Then how do we arrive at the truth? Not by mere analysis, for this is only digging up the past. For we can see that the process of mere analysis is a false process, we will discard it. It will drop from us. What is in your mind is dead. It is not a living thing. But truth is that which is living from moment to moment. It must be discovered, not merely believed in, not to be quoted, not to be formulated. To be alive, that is true. The significance of these words are tremendous. For what is in your mind is already dead, is past, it is a memory. What you have in your mind for the future is a hope, tinged with fear, apprehension. But that is not truth. Truth is a living thing, not a dead thing, not something that exists in the past or something that exists in the future. Truth is a living presence now. You are that living presence. You have the power to think, the power to create. Only a living presence has that power to create and to think. In your mind, then, the things of the past are dead things, and not living things. I am a living thing, but I live moment to moment. You are a living thing, and you live from moment to moment. You cannot exist in the past, nor can you exist in the future. You can only exist now, now as a living reality, with a power to think, and creativeness is within that power that is living now, not in the past nor the future. Therefore, analysis is delving into the past. Therefore, it's not truth. It's a false process. A living process is discerning moment by moment every thought, every emotion, every idea, seeing it for what it is, discerning it clearly so that you will understand that it is not truth. You will see that it's a creation of your own. It's something that has nothing to do with truth. But if I am alive now, then I know that I'm living. In that living, then, is the power in heaven and on earth. To know that you are life and living every moment of it, that is truth. These words are pregnant with wisdom. Perhaps your minds will not take in the completeness of what I am saying, but the time will come, and the Spirit is within you that will reveal those words to you and reveal the meaning of them clearly to you as time arises in yourselves. That is to say, there is the unfoldment of the individual, where the Spirit becomes more and more aware of itself, aware of its own relationship to one another, aware of its relationship to the infinite life itself, aware of its own creativeness, also aware of that which itself creates, aware of everything that is external to itself. Therefore, it becomes consciously aware of itself, not knowing what it is, but knowing that it is. To know this, your mind and heart must be extremely alert and free from all that is false. Is it not so that most do not want to be alive, alert? We want to be put to sleep. We want to escape from the conditions which we ourselves have created. If you have desire, you'll have frustration because you will not be able, as it were, to fulfill your desire. Therefore, you are frustrated in your desire. And in this frustration, you desire an escape because you find that there is misery, there is trouble, there is trials, there is tribulations. You're faced with so many things because your desires are not fulfilled. And you try and force your desire to be fulfilled, therefore, being not fulfilled, there is frustration. And the first thing you do is to try and escape from this frustration because it hurts you. Therefore, you want to be put to sleep from it as an escape from it. You don't want to be awake to face everything that comes your way, knowing that everything comes your way is your own creations, no matter how they are. The boomerang always returns to the foot of the thrower. If you understand everything, then you'll be free. But if you're caught up in your desires, caught up in your frustrations, caught up in your desires for escape, then are you free? But if you can discern that you are trying to escape and the means by which you are trying to escape, you can free yourself. But if you are not aware of the means whereby you're trying to escape, you'll be caught up and you're creating more misery. Is that not so? But these things are your own creations, are they not? When hurt, like children, they want their mother's apron strings, where they can shelter from the storm. Is not the storm the result of our relationship to others? If we can discern this relationship by understanding ourselves, then only can there be freedom and not mere false protection. What is your relationship to one another? Are you using each other as a means to an end, as a piece of furniture for your own benefit? If that is your relationship to one another, there can be no relationship at all. There is no communion between one and another. How can there be any communion between each other when you use each other as a piece of furniture for your own ends, for your own means? There can be no relationship. But if you mark my words, your relationship to your brother, your sister, to your neighbor is your relationship to God. Because you have never seen God, but God is manifested in your neighbor. And that is your relationship to God. Then you will say you're a child of God. But don't you see that is but only an idea? You take into your own prison and it's of no value to you. Is it not so that we despise one and cherish another and then we claim to know the truth? Is this not the height of contradiction? If we can discern the falseness of our claim, then we will discover the truth. But if our action is in contradiction to the truth, how can we claim to know the truth? If we are influenced by what is in our minds, if we are influenced by our experiences, then we will hate one and cherish another, according to our experiences and reactions. What is in your mind is dead, is a result of your experiences, is a result of your reaction to things and people. Is then your continual reactions in the future or in the present based upon these experiences and reactions of the past? If it is, you're living in a world of illusion. And you're only creating more misery because you do not understand yourselves. But if you understand yourselves, you will understand your actions. You will understand your reactions. And you will know what your mind is built from. And then you will know what is false and what is true. It takes wisdom to know that which is false and that which is true. But wisdom is given unto you. If our experience is the foundation of our actions, then the truth is not in us. Because your actions is according to your experience, according to the past. But if I am a living reality, I know I am life. I know that I am conscious. I know that this consciousness is the power behind the intelligence that is always acting. I know that the substance is also perfect in itself. Here I see the trinity of the infinity. Consciousness, intelligence and substance, the trinity which is perfect in itself, out of which everything is created. I know then, if I am aware of this wisdom, and allow this wisdom to manifest through my consciousness, then the intelligence will perform the perfection according to what my consciousness is aware of in the perfect substance that is the basis of all form, yet not form itself. If I am aware of these things completely then, I can see clearly that I'm free, am I not? Form doesn't hold me. Because form is a limitation. If form holds you and your body holds you, you're limited according to your idea of the body. If your mind holds you, then you're limited according to what's in your mind. If you're conscious of freedom, conscious of a reality that is free in itself, that is creativeness, that has by its side an intelligence, that will act according to what the consciousness is aware of, in a substance that is perfect in itself, then you will know that you are free, and the form has no longer any power over you. One day you will realize these words. Perhaps the present, you have not yet comprehended the fullness, the greatness. But even those words of mine are relative. They are only directing you to something that is within yourself that you must find. I cannot give it to you, but it is there. It is the pearl of great price. It is beyond all possessions that man could ever have. It's the creativeness behind all creation. And when man has that, and has found it, then all things are possible unto him, and there is nothing impossible to him who knoweth this truth. If the truth you know is built upon what you have read and heard, then it will be superficial. It will be on the surface. It will be a belief. But a belief is not the truth. A sensation is not the truth. The word truth is not the truth. The truth is a livingness that exists moment to moment. And only is it in that moment, and that moment is eternity. And every moment is eternity. Only now is eternity. Past and the future is in your mind. How can that be eternity? That you can only realize that that is dead material. A living material is now what I am saying at this moment. And when I have said it, it's past. In your mind, it is dead. In yourself, it is living. Because it will bring into operation that livingness that is yourself. The truth, you know, is built upon what you have read and heard, then it will be superficial. Discovering the truth, we must each set our minds to see what is false. We must not merely enjoy what another is playing. We must not fill our minds and hearts with the song of another, for that is not your song. You just become another gramophone, changing the records according to your moods. We must become musicians, each one of us, not merely listening to another. Therefore, we must understand the creations of the mind in reaction to others, to things, to the external. The creations you have created in your own mind, which you think are true, which you think are eternal, but they are entirely false. These are your creations to things external to yourselves, according to your own experiences, according to your reactions. So you create in your mind, and each and every one of you create something different. There is one living thing that is the same in you and me, and that's life itself, and that's the only reality. Because it's alive and living. You react to conditions and people according to your experiences of the past, your hopes of the future. In your mind, you create a pattern which you want to follow. Therefore, your reactions are according to the pattern you feel exists in your mind. We must see the falseness of these creations, then we will not fill our hearts and minds with these creations, for if we do, we will be filled with ashes and not truth. Truth is eternal and ever-present. We must empty the heart of all that is false. Then there is the song that cannot be destroyed or perverted because it is not put together by the mind. It is beyond mind, and when the mind is quiet, you will hear that song, the song of all creation. Oh. It is not an idea. It is not a word. It is something that you hear beyond your mind. It's the creativeness within yourself. It's the Word that was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and that Word was God. And the Word became flesh. It is this great knowledge and wisdom handed down by word of mouth, so that those masters teaching, those masters to come, the knowledge and wisdom behind all creation. And the secret eventually revolves itself into one thing, love. Here was the perfect thing behind all things. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. What I am doing tonight, before going into the hidden secret of the Om, is to get the mind clear of all that hinders the true expression of the Word of creation. Without a clear mind, there can be no true expression. That is why I say that we must become each one of us musicians, and not merely gramophones repeating the song of another, or merely repeating the word Om and listening to our words. It is the word of creation that we must hear in our own hearts, not listening to a word we ourselves create, but listening to that word of creation when the mind is quiet, when the mind is no longer perturbed by opposites, where the mind is no longer perturbed by memories, where the mind is no longer perturbed by fears or hopes, where there is a complete understanding of the living presence that is eternal and ever-present, and that power being above all other powers, situated as the consciousness of man. And what the consciousness is aware of, so does the intelligence fulfill in the perfect substance, which is the mind of God. You cannot think outside God. You can only think inside, because there is no outside. Therefore, it is when the mind is clear of all opposites, of all fears, of all doubts, then in that quiet, now I hear the sound without breathing it. In the depth, I hear it. That's the nada. Have you heard the nada yet? When your mind is peaceful and quiet, there the nada will sound. The Om sings through your consciousness. Then you're caught up in the Om, the createdness of all things and behind all things. It is the sound of sounds. It's the matrix of all sounds. The matrix of all creation. Thought and sound make up all form. It is not merely changing our character that we want, for the word of creation can never be caught up in the net of time like character. Character can be changed, but the word of creation never. For instance, if you are born in a certain country, you have certain influences, certain modes of character, which are shaping the mind. But in other countries, the same is going on, shaping the mind in a different way. Thus, character can be changed, modified, enlarged, etc. But character is not the word of creation. Therefore, to understand the sound of the word of creation fully, character conditioning must cease. Through discerning this conditioning and understanding it, you are brought up a certain way, you are conditioned that way. If you go to a certain church, you are conditioned that way. If you belong to a particular political or religious sect, you are conditioned that way. That is your conditioning. But are you aware of your conditioning? No, you believe in what you have heard and has been told and how you have been conditioned. You're always reflecting your own conditioning. You're not reflecting truth. You think you are, but you're a liar all the time, because the whole of your basis is based upon lies and not truth. Where there's confusion of ideas, there can be no truth. Where there's confusion of religion, there can be no truth. These are things that you quarrel about. You cannot quarrel about truth because you don't know it. You only quarrel about an idea in your mind that is dead, that is not truth. Because truth is not an idea. Truth is not a religion. Truth is not a philosophy. Truth is none of these things. Truth is a livingness now, at this very moment, from moment to moment. I am the truth. I am the life. Therefore, to understand the sound of the word of creation fully, character conditioning must cease through discerning this conditioning and understanding it, thereby becoming capable of making immediate adjustments. This is virtue. Virtue is not the denial of a vice. It is a state of being, and being is not an idea. Therefore, the one who cultivates virtue is not virtuous, because there is good and evil. Can you be virtuous with the evil in your mind and you're searching for good? Can you be virtuous if you are confused with opposites? I am the living presence, and no one can deny that. That's virtuous. That's being. To experience that which is not an idea, the process of ideas must cease. If you want to experience that which is not an idea, the process of ideas in your mind must cease. You must not try and make it an idea. Have I not told you before that meditation is not the subjection of the mind to a particular idea, or the holding the mind in subjection with the idea that you can find truth? Meditation is none other than discerning all that is false in the mind, so that it will dissolve away. And when these opposites, contradictions in the mind cease, when the process of ideas cease, then truth is found. It itself is free, and in that freedom alone can it be experienced, and in no other way. The word of creation is not an idea, it's a reality, beyond the process of ideas. Yet this word is within each one of us, and is not affected by ideas, but can only be known when the process of ideas cease. Therefore, the word of creation must not be an idea in your mind. The word Om cannot be an idea only in your mind. I'm taking you beyond the mindful state, into what the masters know and understand, and what they know of creation. And immediately you become one with the word of creation, all power has been given into you in heaven and on earth, because you become that word. You become the Christ of God, the word that was with God, and the word that was God, and the word that was made flesh remains immortal. It is most difficult to explain in relative terms, yet only in these relative terms can I bring you to know what is beyond the relative. I can't explain truth to you. Anyone who says he can tell you the truth is a liar. Don't believe him, because he doesn't know. And those who tell you that they do know, you will know that they do not know. But through these relative words of mine, in pointing out all that is false and irrelative, you will come to the truth yourselves, and you will find that great pearl, great price, that is greater than all the possessions that man could ever have, either in heaven or upon earth. The Trinity of creation we see in operation everywhere is combination, preservation, and transformation. What is termed disintegration is but transformation. In trying to find the ultimate sound formula behind all creation, we must learn from nature herself, where the process is continuous beyond time. The word Om exists eternally beyond time. And what you call time is a relative thing. When we have awakened to the illuminating soundless sound of Om, what a wonderful thing it is. I wish I could bring you into it. Only time will come, and you will find it yourselves. but it's the most exhilarating, the most thrilling feeling you could ever have, is to listen to the soundless sound of the old, beyond the ultrasonic wave. When we have awakened to the illuminating soundless sound of the Om vibrating in the ultrasonic planes and still higher planes, and realize this infinite creative power, we have discovered one of the greatest secrets in heaven and on earth. Remember, there can be no sound without thought. There can be no thought without consciousness. There can be no consciousness without life. Therefore, life alone is creative. Om represents the trinity of sound in all creation, from the very highest to the very lowest. It's the same sound vibrating throughout the whole universe. It is the word of God that becomes sound. The invisible becomes visible. In exact proportion as the sound vibrates, the vibration of the invisible thought. Thoughts that pass into my mind from some remote control, thoughts that move into my mind and give an expression through my mind, and are formulated in your mind through the medium of sound. The thought invisible from this remote control, the medium, as it were, through which these great thoughts come, and through the instrument of the brain, the nervous system, the mouth, the tongue, and the lungs, and the chest, the formation of the word then is formed according to the thought that strikes the consciousness, and it comes forth in the sound of the word. Be formulated in your own mind. Sometimes people wonder, how is it possible for him to know all these things? But I always say, of myself I am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that knoweth all things. And it is through this remote control, this remote direction, through a consciousness that becomes conscious now, in tune. As Paul says, put on your armor, and that is what you put on, an armor. One day you will find yourselves how to put on this armor, how to become in tune with the great spiritual forces, how to become a medium through which the great thoughts will flow, just as your mind then receives them, the consciousness receives them internally, just as like a wireless set. So are they modified completely through the instrument, given forth again in sound, so it can be heard with all people within range. How wonderful we are made. Yet how simple is the process of this receiving and projecting. How simple is the truth. I and the Father are one. But how mighty is that truth. And when I think always in my time, when I think the things, when I see the words that I write, and people speak to me about them, in my own mind, quietly I say to myself, of my own self, I am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that does these things. Then I lose all this stupidity, this sort of self-aggrandizement, this foolishness, this desire for approbation, because I know that leads me away from that which is really true. The majority of people are always expressing their own personalities. But I say, allow that which is supreme in itself to manifest itself through the instrument it created for its own expression. then there is freedom of thought. The words flow freely without interruption, without difficulty, without thought. I don't think what I'm going to say before I speak to you. As a matter of fact, I do not know what one word should come after another. I'm convinced of the fact that at that moment the word will be given. All sounds are built from these three basic notes which constitute all sounds. The method in expression of these sounds will be given by word of mouth because they cannot be written. Thus all masters handed down this secret to their cellos by repetition. And as a repetition of this truth, the mind must see, so that it clears the mind completely of all the things that are false. And as the word is sound within the self, then within the consciousness itself the sound is heard. And then you reproduce it in exact accordance with the sound that you receive. Body becomes filled, vibrating with a sound. Every atom of the body is vibrating. It will keep on vibrating like this, because I have touched the nada, the sound of creation. Now you will feel this form of vibration within yourself. Will still go on. I could remain in this consciousness for a long, long time. Still you would feel the vibration, the sound of the nada, the invisible sound. It hasn't stopped yet, has it? It just keeps going and going and going, is it not? All the time you're feeling the sound of the invisible one. In the ultrasonic range, the sound is going still. Body is filled with it. The magnetic aura is expressing it. Nothing now can come near the magnetic body. It cannot enter it. There's no thought of any kind can enter into this magnetic body surrounding me at the present time. It's only when I give way to any conditioning or condition myself according to what's external to myself, then these things float through the magnetic body in and influence the mind, the invisible thoughts and forms. Imagine I take the consciousness away from the sound, the creative word, the vibration ceases. That I have done for 7 days on end, without stopping, day or night. That is meditation. But it only comes when the mind is clarified and cleared of all that is false. All beliefs, all ideas, all things that hindering the expression of that perfect word that was in the beginning. I do not create that word created me, exists in me eternally. I am that word. I am the living expression of that word. Repeating the Om, when the mind is clear of hindrances, has a tremendous power. It is not repeated as from an idea, but is given expression from within when the process of ideas has ceased. The word is chanted as from within the soul, expressed outwardly, affecting every atom and cell in the body and beyond. It protects the magnetic body from other influences that may come from without, as I have already explained. The enjoyment obtained from the repeating of the magical formula Om Mani Padme Hum, with its fortifying effects, have to be experienced, to be realized. In the monasteries throughout Tibet, the lamas repeat this word Om Mani Padme Hum hundreds of times, but they are only repeating it. The lamas are not yet conversant with the complete truth, what I have told you. Only the masters are conversant with it. And I am giving you some very secret information, which has a tremendous power, but perhaps you will need it someday, in the not far distant future. Then the Spirit will lead you. The Spirit, which is the Comforter, will come to you and will make known to you all that I have already said. When we begin to understand that matter is but a combination of atoms combined by the force of certain notes, sounds or vibrations, speech provides the avenue to hurl atoms of energy into activity in the production of form. It also has its destructive role in the disintegration of the atoms of form, which we call transformation. For nothing can be destroyed, only transformation takes place from one form into another. This is the fundamental secret in the creative power of the world of man. When this is known, there is extreme care exercised in the utterance, for like lightning we send forth, and like lightning it returns again, according to the potency of the word. So does it draw to itself with immense impact the concrete image of its original purpose. My word shall not return unto me void, that will accomplish that which it has been sent forth to do. Some of you imagine, some of you wonder how these so-called miracles take place in your midst. There is no such thing as a miracle. When we understand the law inherent behind that particular so-called miracle is understood, the miracle disappears. Understanding takes its place. Thus we see the tremendous risk taken by those people who ignorantly violate this sacred law. Fortunately for the ignorant, there is very little power in the words. In Matthew 12:37, Jesus says, by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Therefore, through the magic potency of the thought word sound, and the magnetic power of the voice, we have in our hands the greatest secret of the timeless, the ever-present life. Only is the ever-present life capable of giving expression to voice and sound. That's why I say, I am the truth, I am the living truth, and I voice. My voice is the expression of the living truth, because there can be no other means. And my voice can only be heard from moment to moment, and each moment is the expression of the livingness, the ever-present truth, the ever-present life. I am that life. is it not necessary then that we select carefully our thoughts and words, built not upon memory or experience, but with the understanding of the ever-present life, which alone gives power to thought and words? Try to inspire those you meet with words of truth. Be optimistic at all times, no matter in what company you may be, discerning the condition that has taken place. Never argue with ignorance. It's a fool's paradise. When you know the truth, you will never argue, because only ignorance argues with ignorance. Truth cannot argue with truth. Neither can truth argue with ignorance. The light in the world, the darkness comprehendeth it not. But the light is the light of man. But the darkness does not overcome the light. But where there is light, darkness disappears. Learn to relax and speak in eloquent tones with words composed from a healthy state of mind. Learn the skill of using convincing words to attract attention towards that which is constructive. You will discover that words are priceless jewels and must never be wasted in idle talk. Feel the power and effectiveness of your word. Wherever you are, remembering the source, from moment to moment, making your words divine. From moment to moment, making your words divine. From the heart of truths, the sacred hidden treasure will pour out radiating beams to dispel the darkness and ignorance, wherever it may be. Little do the masses realize the damage to humanity caused through the perversion of the truth, through the press, radio, stage, and screen, these subtle instruments creating trends of thought which later become the creative power of speech are doing untold damage to millions of people who are led to destruction. Yet how ignorant are they of the fact that the rebounding process of these words spoken and written affect those who express them. Remember, I am not propagating a truth. I am not giving you an idea. What I am doing is to help you to see what is preventing you from directly expressing truth. The word truth is not truth. If you are merely speaking the word truth, you have done nothing. If you do not know what you are now, you will never be tomorrow. If you are not brotherly now, tomorrow will not make you, for it is also now. If you have your mind full and your heart empty, truth will not reveal itself. Only when the mind is still and the heart full does it reveal its great creative power, and this creative power is love. I will say again, love. So deep in your heart must this be full, overflowing, for the mind must be empty of ideas and images and beliefs. We are the contradiction of love. Love knows no idea. Love never contradicts itself. Love is a living force. An idea is a dead one. Love is the expression of that which is eternal and ever present, moment by moment. I am love. Translated from Isaiah, honor not the truth with your lips while your hearts are far remote. Your religion is a mockery, a mere tradition learned by rote. Benediction. O blessed truth, thou art ever present and eternal. Thou art alone my guide, my friend, my staff that comforts me. When I heard thy voice in all creation, I knelt before thee. As I did so, I heard thy voice also within me. My mind was silenced, my memories dissolved, for I knew thee alone. And forever afterwards, I knew what was false. This knowing kept me close to thee forever. O blessed, eternal truth.